This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Okay, that's remote. Okay, real quick, I thought there was a lot of media hysteria over the Trump executive order on the refugees. Roll the tape.
I don't want to be hysterical, but this literally could be a matter of life and death.
He chose to punish ordinary men, women, and children who are fleeing terrorism and violence. These people are the roadkill of Trump's posturing.
Okay, so on and on and on and on. Did you see it that way, that it's a little hysterical in the media?
I thought it was quite hysterical. When you boil it down, it turned out yesterday, it seems, in Los Angeles in particular, where the demonstration against what Trump had done clogged the streets and roads so badly that I think more people were inconvenienced by the demonstrations than were inconvenienced by his order. Now, it is manifestly true, as you and Charles discussed, that this thing was executed and rolled out very clumsily and it caused some needless delays and headaches. But the underlying policy is not unreasonable. Even if you disagree with it, it is a temporary measure designed in the president's mind to provide an opportunity to strengthen the vetting that goes on, and then it is supposedly going to be lifted. Now, people say it won't be. What remains to be seen. But for the near term, a lot of what is being said about this is, as those two sound bites suggest, basically hysterical.
Yep, it is. All
right, Bridget. Yeah, what Brett Hume brings, we're taking a look at the aftermath of the crash, lest we forget, what brought us here and what we were trying to accomplish, Scott. Is it reasonable for this country to say the people that are coming in as immigrants and refugees, is it reasonable to understand what they're doing? I can tell you, when I went to Israel last year, I was subjected, and I say subjected, it makes it sound, but, they asked me questions for about 40 minutes. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you're kind of wondering, is they're asking a question, where are they going with this? What are they doing? And, and you're just sitting there going, hey, I just want to go to Israel. But you get really thankful, and appreciative that they're doing this sort of thing. And here in America, I mean, when we have security people going, hey, look at, we can't possibly vet all these people. And, Democrats have said this. Now all of a sudden it's like, all right, now we got a president who's acting on these things reasonably to protect, its citizens. Wow. What a novel concept. And so some people get inconvenienced. Go ahead.
I do agree though that he needs to get better with how he rolls these things out. Because
and he will.
I know he will, but he's leaving a lot of things open, and there's some things that the people getting held that had green cards and things like that, that should have been already, that should have been something that was figured out before they had to have that whole talk, because they released it and then they came out and like, well, no, people with green cards are okay.
Right. Fluidity. There was fluidity to something like this that it shouldn't be. You got people, held up in airports. And of course, really, the Democrats are going to take some of those exceptional stories and run with it and make it seem like it was a lot worse than what it was. But, Trump, I believe, is a reasonable man. But, we got to keep in mind that what are we dealing with? We're dealing with unreasonable people that want to come in and kill us, So to me, that's unreasonable. So what do we do? So if we err a little bit on inconvenience, for immigrants and refugees and we're sorry. But I think that in many cases, people will understand that there is a reason for it. It's just like you do when you go to Israel and you're sitting there and you're being asked questions for about 30, 40 minutes. you understand. Or when you go through TSA and you're having to take your shoes off and, you know, they're checking out to make sure that you can securely board the plane because it makes everybody else feel safe. So why not? We've got more. Stay with us, America.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop here. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. We're coming at you live just the way you like us, fresh every day, Monday through Friday. 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, and all the other time zones appropriately demarcated for your enjoyment and frivolity. Yeah, we're frivolous every once in a while, ever so slightly, but yeah, we have a tendency to deal about the serious and important topics, politics, religion, you know, cultural issues that can rev some people up. And I got to tell you, a lot of my friends are really revved up at my call for Democrats to get their act together. They just feel like they should just be out there running around aimless, you know, like a boat without a rudder, and just let them go in circles. And I'm saying, look, we need everybody, all hands on deck, to get this country back on track. And it is disappointing to see what they're doing. And I'm going, God, you guys got to find your way here, because we need you in the fight. We need you carrying your share of the load. And also, we need a balanced approach to our government, lest we forget it was not that long ago that a one-sided government gave us Obamacare. Kevin Gutzman is with us. Dr. Gutzman is a professor, chairman in the Department of History at Western Connecticut State University, a faculty member at LibertyClassroom.com, author of 4 books, one of which, one of my favorites, Who Killed the Constitution? The Fate of American Liberty from World War I to George W. Bush. Dr. Gutzman, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Very well. Happy to be here.
Hey, we want to talk, speaking of the Democrats, you're saying, or you're posing the question, you know, as Democrats have lost their way, and I've heard this argument as well, where they're saying the Democratic Party has become irrelevant on the national stage, that they may have to resign themselves to a party of states. Unfold that, if you would, for our audience. What you mean by that?
Well, in the 1980s, when Republicans had control of the White House, the Supreme Court, and the Senate, there were calls among progressives for new policymaking initiatives from state judges and from state legislatures. So, in other words, in that instance, they invoked the principle of federalism. And since November 8th, we've heard similar calls once again. We've heard people saying, well, okay, clearly the action is not going to be in Washington now. It's going to be at the state level. And essentially what this amounts to is that people who in general are not at all interested in the principle of federalism or decentralized government, and in fact, I think if there's one principle of the Constitution we could say progressivism is against, it's federalism. Mm-hmm. Now, when they're in the wilderness, they are invoking it.
Mm. Well, isn't this a little bit of what the Republicans have done, you know, in the past, where they regressed to state, you know, and in fact, you could say some of the strategy and why they were able to be in the position they are today is because they had to reevaluate things and say, look, we better have a greater influence at the state level. And here they are. They affect the state level. Now they're, you know, they're controlling the federal government. Is that
fair? That's true in a sense. But in general, the Republican platform, the national platform, calls for a decentralized authority. So this is consistent whether they control things in Washington or not. The current new administration and the congressional majority are both saying, well, we want to eliminate some federal programs and return authority to the state governments. This is not the same as Democrats, who in general, when they control power in Washington, want to create new programs in Washington, want to assume more authority from the states and exercise it nationally. So I do think there's a significant distinction between the two parties in this regard. In the 80s, there was a famous speech by the most liberal justice of the 20th century, William Brennan, in which he said, state judges, now that we know that we have this conservative majority on the Supreme Court, you can assume the policymaking role that we liberals on the Supreme Court had filled for the last 50 years. And besides that, we had lawsuits from state governors against the federal government saying that various policies of the Reagan administration were violating states' rights. So, for example, Governor Michael Dukakis of Massachusetts sued the federal government and said that President Reagan's decision to send National Guardsmen to Honduras as part of his policy of trying to undermine the communist Sandinista government of Nicaragua was unconstitutional because he, Governor Dukakis, was commander of the Massachusetts National Guard and didn't want to send them to Honduras. I challenge you to find any other instance in which Michael Dukakis relied on the principle of state rights.
Right.
He actually was not the only liberal governor or Democratic governor in the 80s who made the same argument. So, again, I think that in general this is a kind of an argument of convenience among Democrats who, if they had their way, would be creating a national mandate for health insurance and expanding that to more people and maybe having a single-payer system and so on. Their general impulse is to have national programs, not decentralized government.
Well, Kevin, and maybe I laid this out incorrectly here so you can help me, but what I'm seeing in terms of, when you're looking to grab some sphere of influence, and now you've kind of, blown yourself up and you're trying to gather yourself together and you look at the opportunity and you go, well, the national level, I'm pretty well shot myself in the foot here. So I've got to grab some ground. And so this is where the states offer some opportunity, though they have lost a lot of ground at the state level, in state houses. And I mean, this is probably one of the lowest times, in Democratic history in terms of their level of influence at the state level, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Actually, I've heard pundits say recently that Democrats control only six state governments, and they generally count Connecticut as one. But I live in Connecticut, and I know that our state Senate, since the November election, is actually now equally divided. So even Connecticut is no longer controlled by the Democratic Party. It is true that in our federal system, state governments have authority and can exercise it. And so one would, yes, expect Democrats in exile from authority in Washington to say this. But my point is that unlike Republicans who generally, even when they control the government in Washington, want to decentralize authority, the Democratic Party's platform is entirely against this principle. It's entirely an argument of convenience. To hear William Brennan, for example, who was a justice who was constantly arguing for policymaking by the Supreme Court, argue that, well, now state judges need to be taking new responsibility for policymaking, it was maybe the most ironic such argument in American history. And we have the same kinds of things being said now by people who 2 months ago were happy that the president had a pen and a phone, right?
So. Yes, exactly. Yeah, but now that it's on the other side, there's a disturbance in the force. know, so it makes for good entertainment and conversation on talk radio, so we're grateful for that. We're talking with Dr. Kevin Gutzman, professor chairman in the Department of History at Western Connecticut State University. We come back, speaking of the Supreme Court, want to get his, his eyes on that and his ears and let us know his thoughts right here on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us, America.
Taking turmeric is good, but there's a problem with it. The active ingredient in turmeric, known as curcumin, is poorly absorbed into the cells due to its large particle size. But now, One Planet Nutrition has the answer for this powerful anti-inflammatory. Nanocurcumin, a nanoparticle curcumin which absorbs over 40 times better into your bloodstream. Discover more health benefits of nanocurcumin and nanocurcumin plus, now on sale at oneplanetnutrition.com. Use promo code GCN for your special discount at oneplanetnutrition.com.
Do you trust the economy? How about our banking system? Our president states that we're sitting on a bubble right now, and when the Fed raises interest rates, bad things are going to happen. Well, the Fed is outlining rate hikes here and now. There's never been a better time to turn your IRA into physical gold with GSI Exchange. 800-261-5570. That's 800-261-5570. GSI Exchange can make this happen fast, and it's money you control, not the big banks. 800-261-5570. Ask about our Gold and Silver Investors Guide and learn how your qualified IRA transfers can get you $1,500 in free physical gold or silver delivered right to your home. GSI Exchange has an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, too. Get the security for your money now. Call GSI Exchange at 800-261-5570. 800-261-5570. That's 800-261-5570.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
Had it been the sweet Paris air permeating the night? The intoxicating way her beauty had overtaken him? Whatever the case back then, Jordan Dunleavy is still in love with the memory of Lauren, the woman he'd lost so many years before. In Bookstore on the Scent, The Journey of a Conspiracy Analyst, author C.L. Hendeman ties conspiracy theories, mystery, irony, and romance into this stimulating novel that masterfully interweaves the past with the present. Available on Amazon and Kindle and at bookstoreonthescent.com. That's S-E-I-N-E.com. Bookstoreonthescent.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online, any one of the 280-plus affiliates or around the world via shortwave, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour, a conversation with Dr. Kevin Gutzman continues. New York Times bestselling author of 5 books, including James Madison and the Making of America, newly released Thomas Jefferson Revolutionary. Kevin, congratulations on the new book. Let me give you a couple of minutes here. Let's brag about it because it was just released today, right?
That's right. Yes, it was. And it's not a biography. Instead, it's the study of Jefferson as radical statesman. I argue that he's the most significant statesman in American history, and many of the changes he made in American government we don't even recognize. So, for example, Jefferson was responsible for creating what the president of Yale College at the time called the first university in America. So if you're a college student or if you're a college instructor, college graduate, you probably will have had the experience of choosing your courses and taking essay exams and having instruction that involved interaction with the professor or lectures. And this is all totally unlike the way college worked before Jefferson created the University of Virginia. Back then, very, very few people could afford to go to college. Those who did then had to memorize large chunks of books. And when they went to class, the professor would call a man's name and he would stand up and recite what he had memorized. That was the entire instruction. The curriculum was set. Whatever you were interested in, you were going to study Greek and Latin. Mm-hmm. And it was because of Jefferson that this was changed almost completely, of course. Jefferson was also the fellow who was most responsible for our American principle of freedom of conscience, the idea that the government shouldn't be involved in telling you what you should think about ultimate questions. And not only did he write the statute that made Virginia the first officially secular polity in the history of the world, but he also was responsible for the most famous formulation about the principle of freedom of religion in the federal government, too, the famous metaphor of the wall of separation. Mm-hmm. So my book is full of examination of various of these ideas of Jefferson's and the way they played out. I think he's endlessly fascinating. As I was doing the research for the book, I learned more and more about him, which was surprising to me because I've been a student of that period and writing about him and people like him for decades now, but there's always something more. So it was a great joy.
Yeah, I bet. And I know it's going to be a great joy for those that get their hands on the book because you're talking about somebody who came in. I mean, you could not have picked a better person to come against, the growing traditions and I believe the stifling of thought potentially. And you needed somebody like Thomas Jefferson, who was regarded as a revolutionary. He was coming against, business as usual. And really, in terms of the liberation of mankind and the human experience in America and what it would be, I believe his perception of liberty was quite striking.
Yes, actually, not only did he have this idea that people should have freedom of conscience, but he thought that authority, government authority, should be as decentralized as possible. It should be as local as possible. In general, people should be left to make decisions about their own lives themselves. Mm-hmm. And if government had to do something for them, it should be within their grasp, if possible. So he thought that the central government, the federal government, should be responsible essentially only for foreign policy, military affairs, coining money. Everything else should be done ideally at the local level, but if necessary, at state level. And, of course, nowadays we're used to the idea that essentially unless you're really wealthy or famous, you're not going to have much effect on the central government, and that's where most of the important decisions will be made. So we've come to have a nearly opposite model of government in the United States, which I think is a great shame. And I explore in the book why Jefferson thought that the decentralized model, where people are making political decisions about their own lives with their neighbors, was far preferable.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Jefferson wasn't without flaws. I mean, he, in some cases, quite the enigma. I mean, here he is fighting for freedom on one hand, but yet, you know, he owned slaves. So on one hand, he could fight for Native Americans, as you write, and their role in society, but somehow didn't seem to translate that to Africans being held in slavery.
Well, that's actually not quite right. That's a common understanding of him. I devote one entire chapter of the book to his thinking about that question. Mm-hmm. He wrote in his only book, which is called Notes on the State of Virginia, he wrote it in 1781, about the future of slavery in America. He thought it needed to go. He thought mm-hmm. it needed to be eliminated. But he thought there was a problem in that connection in Virginia, which was he thought that white people would always be severely prejudiced against the blacks. And he said, and we, meaning he was speaking for white Virginians, he said, we give them 1,000 new reasons every day. And so he thought the only way that the slaves could be freed safely would be to find somewhere else where they could live, which was an idea that came to be called colonization.
Right.
So Jefferson's attempt was to find another locale in Virginia to which Virginia slaves could be sent. Ultimately, his friend and political acolyte, James Monroe, who was the fifth president after Jefferson had been the third president, was responsible for founding the West African country of Liberia for this purpose. So the first people who settled Liberia were former slaves from Virginia mm-hmm. who were sent there. The idea was eventually all of Virginia's slaves would be sent there. It's, of course, an entirely foreign notion to us. It sounds vaguely creepy. But if you take for granted Jefferson's understanding, number one, all men are created equal, meaning they all have a right to self-government, including slaves.
Right.
Number two, he thought there'd be a race war in Virginia if the slaves were freed and didn't leave. So number three, he wanted to find a place to send them. It's an interesting story, and it completely contradicts, as I say, this common myth that he said all men are equal, but he didn't care about blacks, and it's mm-hmm. a happy thing being a slave owner. That's not true at all. Yeah.
No, my understanding was he did want to get rid of slavery. I maybe have framed that a bit incorrectly, but my understanding was that he did. He wanted to do that. But congratulations on the book, Thomas Jefferson, Revolutionary Radical Struggle to Remake America. This is, going to bring some interesting insight and could broaden your understanding, certainly broaden your understanding, as you say, Kevin, as you're writing this, you're peeling back new layers of the onion skin, so to speak, and seeing Thomas Jefferson a little bit different.
Well, I hope that people will notice that. I actually have a couple of points in the book where I take major exception to what other scholars have said, and I think when you see why, you'll realize that I'm right. Mm-hmm. So it was enjoyable in the sense of spending time with Mr. Jefferson, and it was enjoyable in the sense of thinking that I've corrected the record.
Well, we'll get your hands on. Highly recommend. Available at all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Donald Trump is going to announce his replacement of Antonin Scalia. And, of course, the Supreme Court's division between liberals and conservatives is to, it is the doorway to a political battle, to say the least, right?
Oh, I'm certain it will. It should. People yeah. need to realize how really significant this is. Since the 1930s, generally the progressive movement has stood for the idea that the Supreme Court should be a policy-making body, not just a legal institution. And so every time we have one of these openings, we end up with a big fight over what kind of super legislator we want. I think that the fact that this has become such an important moment every time that happens shows us how distorted the system has come to be. This is,
exactly. Well, we got to leave it right there. We got to leave it there. Dr. Kevin Gutzman on Bill Martinez Live.
This is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that could make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME11 to 42424.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc? Herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Think they'd get away with it, did you?
There's never been a moment was not held inside your arms. And there's never been a day when you were not who you say you are. You're forever, it don't matter what I'm walking through. Cause no matter where I'm going, there's never been a moment that I was not loved by you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, welcome back, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live 28 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, we hear a lot about Russia meddling, Putin. You know, it's all this kind of mystery and boogeyman kind of deal. And I'll tell you, I was presented with a book, Bears in the Street, Three Journeys Across a Changing Russia. And, of course, you know, when you think about, you know, what's going on with Russia since, you know, it's been inventing itself under the influence of one Vladimir Putin, and I think maybe some of the information is coming here, you know, into the West, and the controversy over one Putin. There is so much about Russia that we do not understand. And Lisa Dickey has written a compelling book, Bears in the Street, Three Journeys Across a Changing Russia. I got to tell you this. My wife, I was telling Lisa, my wife got a hold of the book. As you know, sometimes that'll happen. Can you imagine? You know, it comes into the office. She sees the book and goes, "Hey, whoa! I want to read this." So she was all over it. So now her bags are packed, and we're Russia bound, whether I want to or not. But actually, the fact of the matter is, it is so compelling, and your experiences, Lisa, and the way you bring it to life here, you know, I can't wait to experience Russia.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I think in America, oftentimes we have an image of what Russia is like based on the fact that it's really cold a lot of the time. And we don't really know a whole lot about the people there. But I have always been extremely welcomed there. I've really had great experiences there. And that's part of what I wanted to convey in the book.
Well, 1995, first time you go. What were you thinking?
So I was actually living in Russia I started in the fall of 1994. I was working as a freelance journalist and I got contacted by a photographer who wanted to go all the way across the entire country, 5,000 plus miles, and do a photo essay. Wow. But he didn't really speak Russian. And so he took me with him and we did that entire trip. And it was a great way for me to see, you know, the rural areas and the hinterlands and, you know, meet people all over the place as opposed to, I think, you know, Moscow and St. Petersburg, you could sort of compare to New York and Washington.
Right.
You know, they are that country, but that's not the only thing about that country. Mm-hmm. And so it was really fascinating to just get out and meet a bunch of people and from all different walks of life and just really experience what life in Russia is like.
What a treat to be able to meet people at the ground level, and you probably realize maybe how different we may seem, we're yet so similar, aren't we?
Yes, we truly are. I mean, and that is one of the things that I just found over and over. You know, the conversations I had with people, you know, of course at times we would talk about politics, but a lot of times we would just talk about our families and our hopes for what we wanted to accomplish and our work and just, you know, everyday stuff. And you know, it's funny, I've been speaking to a couple of journalism classes and about the trip, and I'll ask people, you know, young people, what's your impression of Russia? What do you think about Russians?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they'll say things like, vodka, you know, sounds like, I had one girl say, you know, sounds like Count Dracula, basically, you know.
Yeah, right.
People don't really know what to think, and so that's a big part of what this book was about.
Well, the book, Bears in the Street, explain to our audience the title, because this was quite interesting how you came up with this.
So the title, I took the three trips, the first time in 1995, the second in 2005, and the third in 2015, and I interviewed the same people every time in each of 11 cities. So, but this time in 2015, I think the second day of my trip, I had a woman say to me in Vladivostok, you know, Americans all just think we have bears wandering around in the streets here in Russia. And I laughed because I thought that was kind of funny. And I hadn't really heard that before that I could remember anyway. And I just kind of filed that away. And then the next week in a different city, someone else said the exact same thing.
Well,
and then in another city and another city and another city. And no joke, there were at least five or six different places, different people, apropos of almost
totally unconnected, right?
Said, Americans just all think it's bears wandering the streets here. So I started trying to figure out, like, what is that? Like, I don't think we think that, but why do the Russians think we think that? And I finally realized I believe that it is connected to, you know, the Russians in the 80s, there were two superpowers, the Soviet Union and the United States of America. And then the Soviet Union collapsed. Russia became very weak economically. Mm-hmm. And nobody really cared what the Russians thought anymore. And I think that one of the things that Vladimir Putin has done for them is to, you know, make them feel like people are paying attention to Russia again, which they certainly are.
Exactly.
And so I think it was a little bit of a chip on their shoulders of, you know, you guys think this about us, but that's not who we are.
Well, and Vladimir Putin is often characterized as a bear, right? That angry bear in Russia, you
right?
Know, the West depicts him.
Yes, the bear has long been a symbol of Russia for you know decades, if not centuries. It's been a symbol. You can look at old, you know, 100-year-old political cartoons, and they portray Russia as a bear. And so that, you know, in the 1980 Olympics, the Misha the bear was the mascot. And you know, the bear is definitely a Russian symbol. You know, that's definitely something that is a symbol of Russia. But the notion of, you know, actual bears running around in the streets, although there is one funny kind of moment in the book where I was about halfway through the trip and I, you know, saw on the news that a bear had actually gone running down the street in one of the cities I had been to. So that was kind of amusing.
Well, so what do they think about America? Do they think our kids are dressed up like bears running around wild in the street?
Well, you know, the funny thing is Russians actually get quite a lot of American television and movies and music. And so, you know, I talked with one woman, a 31-year-old woman, who told me she'd seen every episode of Friends twice.
Oh, wow.
This is 200-plus episodes. I mean, they consume a lot of American television and movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so So I think their view of what America is like is more accurate than what our view of what Russia is like. Because I had a lot of Russians say to me, well, so what are Americans' favorite Russian television shows? And I had to say, I doubt most Americans have ever seen a Russian television show, you know, a show made in Russia. I doubt that most Americans have ever seen a Russian movie. Mm-hmm. You know, we just don't know. We just don't know, and we don't actually think about that human component. I mean, there's 140 million people living there, but there's really only one that we talk about ever, and that's Vladimir Putin.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think for you to go back on three occasions, to take the same journey, meet with the same people 10 years apart, 1995, 2005, 2015. I mean, what a concept. I mean, that you would be able to do that. And I imagine this just kind of, it wasn't necessarily planned that way initially. It just kind of evolved that way, right?
Right, yeah. So actually the first trip, the funny thing is that 1995 trip, that was not even my idea. I felt like I was kind of along for the ride with this photographer who, you know, he needed a Russian speaker and someone to come, and so I came. And then 10 years later, you know, I thought it was a once-in-a-lifetime trip. Mm-hmm. And then 10 years later, I thought, well, you know, it'd be kind of cool to go see how these people are doing now. And so I actually contacted the photographer, and unfortunately, he couldn't come. But I brought another person, another photographer, and then we went across the country. And so, but even before that second trip ended, I knew that I was going to want to go back again. Mm-hmm. So...
Well, speaking of Vladimir Putin, how popular is he really? Are the polls being ginned up there, or do people legitimately respect Vladimir Putin?
So I was truly curious about this when I was going because, you know, you see these polls and you think, how in the world can he possibly be this popular? Mm-hmm. And so I asked people all across the country in all of these different cities, and I'll tell you something, they love the guy. They really love Vladimir Putin. And I think the reason behind that is twofold. It's not surprising, really, to me that they do. The reason is twofold. One is that, you know, when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, they had a decade of leadership by Boris Yeltsin, who turned out to be somewhat erratic. And the economy was in a complete shambles, and people lost their life savings. And people just felt like they didn't know what the future held. And then in 2000, when Putin came in, he brought a sense of stability that was very important. And the second thing I'll just say is that Putin has been very effective at shutting down opposition journalism as well. Right. And so they don't often know the bad stuff, and they do know the good stuff.
And that's the stuff that makes the West very nervous, doesn't it?
Yes.
But he brought some he brought some nationalism and raised the country back up, and he brought it back into focus, didn't he?
You know, you can sort of say that it was his goal to make Russia great again.
Yep. Let's.
Yeah.
And on that, we'll go to break. Lisa Dickey is with us. Great book, Bears in the Street, giving us some insight of you know, the 21st century Russia.
How would you like to pay less taxes? Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes. If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them 10 grand or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less, in some cases a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
We're all looking for safe, effective, and all-natural remedies for ourselves and our family. The solution is Simplex. Simplex oils provide natural anti-inflammatory and pain relief, antioxidant and nerve protection, and is an amazing topical acne removal and skincare supplement. Natural healing at a very affordable price. Find out more about our non-psychoactive CBD oil products. Go to SimplexSpecials.com. That's SimplexSpecials.com.
There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez live.
I think we the people need to remember that as well. It's 14 before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Our conversation continues with Lisa Dickey, who's helped write and or edit 17 published books, including 8 New York Times bestsellers. You can go to her website, lisadickey.com, for more information. We're discussing her brand new book, Bears in the Street, just released. What a terrific, terrific story. I tell you, it will cause you to fall in love with Russia. It's going to have you packing your bags. You're going to want to check this out. Incredible story. 3 journeys, 10 years apart, across, what was this, Lisa? You said 5,000 miles, from one end of Russia to the other?
Yeah, it's actually a little over 5,700 miles.
Wow.
7 time zones. Yeah.
Wow.
If you
seven,
look at the map,
7 time zones. Yeah.
Seven time zones, yeah.
And with
Vladivostok, you're right next to North Korea.
Right. And with these time zones, as you say, the personality of Russia is interestingly defined, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely changes as you go across. It's kind of like the difference between West Coast, East Coast, here
right.
in the States, too. You
right.
know, the people who make it all the way to Vladivostok are kind of, the dreamers and the adventurers. And, you start in Vladivostok and you start moving along westward and you pass through also some different regions. There's the Jewish Autonomous Region. There's a place that was set up by Joseph Stalin in the late 20s and early 30s as nominally it was supposed to be this great Jewish homeland, but really it was, I think, a Stalin's effort to get the Jewish people as far away from European Russia as he could.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pass through that and you get to Buryatia, the Buryat Republic. And that's their people who are closely related to Mongolians. And they speak Russian, but they also speak Buryat, and they're majority mm-hmm. Buddhist. And then you keep on moving, and you go past Lake Baikal, and you go, you start to get into the Ural Mountains and then the European part of Russia. And it's just it's a much more widely varied population than I think many people realize.
Well, Lisa, you're fluent in Russian, so but what about these other dialects? How are you, do you know enough to get yourself out of trouble, or you know how?
No, I don't know.
Fluent are you there?
Everybody speaks Russian. Well, they're all Russian citizens. The people who live in Russian and all this. Yeah, so they all speak Russian. And in fact, one of the reasons I originally wanted to study Russian back in the Soviet era was there were so many different kinds of people that I could communicate with. There were, you know, all the different Soviet republics, the Armenians and the Estonians and the Latvians and the Georgians and the Azerbaijanis, and they all speak Russian or spoke Russian.
Talk about a melting pot, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, I like what former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright had to say about your book. She said, Lisa Dickey has chosen an inspired way to tell a most fascinating story about the evolution of modern Russia. Bears in the Streets is brilliant, real, and readable. And it is now available. And I'll tell you, you will, this will be a delightful book. I mean, you will enjoy Russia. It'll open your eyes, especially in light of, you know, what's being reported, you know, relevant to, you know, Vladimir Putin, you know, some of the politics that's happening in our country today. But behind all that are some real people and real stories. You met some characters along the way, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I definitely met a lot of characters. Yeah. Yeah, there's the, you know, there's the rap star in Moscow, MC Pavlov. He was fantastic. I spent some time with a farmer and his family in Buryatia, and they were just an, you know, an amazingly generous family, fantastic. He, when we first arrived in 1995, he put us in his car and drove us out into the fields. And, you know, Gary and I had no idea where we were going. And, you know, he said, wait here. And then he hops out of the car and goes running into this flock of sheep and grabs one and ties it up and throws it into the trunk of his car. And he ended up, you know, slaughtering a sheep, as he told us, in the manner of Genghis Khan, and prepared this amazing feast for us. And we were just incredibly touched by this. You know, it was really, I mean, we felt bad for the sheep, obviously, but we were really, really touched by his generosity in that.
It's the circle of life, you know. It's just what happens.
Circle,
you know, right?
Of life, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so.
But, yeah, I know sometimes for us it's like, you know, hey, I'd have been happy with a carrot stick, you know. We didn't have to go. I'm like you. And, of course, that's their generosity, and they would have been insulted if you rejected it, right?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. So it was really, we were treated very well, you know. I do feel like there was a warmth to people, I think, that doesn't always come through. And, you know, there's good people and bad people in every culture. You know, I don't mean to make it sound like Russia's some sort of paradise that everybody needs to, you know, rush over there immediately. But it is, you know, it's just, I think that we have a caricature in our minds about who Russians are. And I think that the real story is a lot more complex and nuanced than that.
Mm. Well, and you'll never discover unless you get a chance to actually go there and do as you did, you know, at the ground level. Go meet with people. Hear their stories. I mean, what fascinating stories, what the country has gone through. And here it is, you know, with the collapse of the USSR. And then now here we are under the new regime and what they're trying to do. You know, tough times for Russians right now.
Yeah, I would say that certainly, you know, in 1995 was the toughest time of the three. You know, people were really freaking out, essentially. I mean, the economy was just doing really poorly, and people really had no idea what was going to come next. 2005, people, the ones that I spoke with, seemed to be a lot better off, and there was a stability to the country that there hadn't been 10 years previous. Mm-hmm. This trip fell somewhere sort of in the middle. You know, the ruble fell by half between the beginning of 2014 and when I started my trip in 2015, and that was really devastating to people. And so, you know, there's definitely people struggling. There were people who, you know, lost a lot of their savings. They lost their buying power. There were people who had taken out dollar-based loans to purchase vehicles, and then all of a sudden they owe twice as much as they did, you know, a year and a half ago, and that's really devastating. I mean, you can imagine if you take out a $20,000 loan on a car, and all of a sudden the next year you owe $40,000 on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the kinds of things that would be happening to people.
Lisa, what was your read on their, you know, on their spirituality? I've heard, you know, stories that run the entire gamut, that they're very spiritually motivated, you know, because we're talking a country that was pretty much forced into atheism for a long time.
I would say, you know, it's difficult. You can't really say in a monolithic way that they're spiritual or not spiritual. I would say, you know, obviously a lot of people really welcomed it when they were able to worship openly again.
Right.
I don't think there's necessarily, you know, among the people that I spoke with, I wouldn't say there was some sort of huge groundswell of everybody now wanting to go to church. But the people who wanted to were very relieved that they were able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, like America, you know, it is evolving as well. And in light of recent anti-gay legislation, how do they now feel about gay people? You have some insight on that.
Yeah, it was. It's a complicated question. You know, it's a complicated question. I would answer that in a couple of ways. One is, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a gay person myself,
right.
and
right.
I did not particularly hide that fact when I went across, you know, on this third trip.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I heard most often from people was, "I'm okay with it, but don't tell anyone else."
Mm-hmm.
So they would be very concerned about my safety if I, you know, were sort of, you know, blurting that fact out to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the short answer, if one can make a short answer, is, you know, people don't particularly want it to be displayed. It's kind of don't ask, don't tell.
I
personally didn't get the sense from the people I talked to that they really cared all that much what people did privately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but and then obviously, you know, there's the law and that was passed in 2013 that criminalizes the propagandizing of sexual, you know, minority behavior to
right.
minors.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be interpreted in any number of ways. And that, of course, is a law that, you know, I wish hadn't been passed. It's one of the things that Putin has done that I really truly wish he hadn't done.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, you know, I the people that I spoke with there who are gay said, well, it hasn't changed my life all that much, but I would also say that those people are not tremendously out of the closet either.
Yeah, there's not going to be a gay parade in Moscow soon.
Well, they do have gay parades in Moscow, and they are not received well. They have been shut down. They have had, you know, the police coming after them. You know, this is one, you know, I wanted to say, you know, I very much want to put out a message of, you know, the Russian people are worth knowing and the people are different from the government, but, you know, we can't kid ourselves. You know, this government is not, there's a lot of issues that I have with the Russian government and the way they do things, and
mm-hmm.
cracking down on any kind of, you know, publicly acknowledging one's homosexuality, that's obviously one. Shutting down opposition journalism, that's another one. You know, there are a lot of things that this government has done that are objectionable.
Now, you mentioned two surprising and transformational trends among Russian young people. Break that down for us. We got about a minute left here.
Yeah, so one of the things that I really noticed along this trip, I would talk to people mostly in their 20s or younger,
mm-hmm.
you know, teenagers into their 20s, and they were very much focused on their health in ways that the older generation had not seemed to be,
mm-hmm.
meaning they drink less, meaning most of them don't smoke, meaning they go and they work out and they focus on what they eat. I had a lot of younger Russians say to me, oh, this is organic and this is GMO-free and all these kinds of things that I had never really, really heard before from the older generation.
Uh-huh.
And the second thing is there seems to be more young people who really felt, you know, were very aggressively pursuing their dreams in a work sense.
Mm-hmm.
So starting their own businesses, studying English because they thought that it would be useful, not necessarily because they actually have an immediate need for it. But there just was a sort of refreshing sense of, oh, I think that, you know, I want to work toward this and make this happen, and I
mm-hmm.
think that I can.
I love to hear it. I love to hear when people are dreaming. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So, you know, the Soviet Union, these are people, young people in their early 20s have no recollection of the Soviet Union.
Exactly.
They were born after the Soviet Union fell, and so it's a whole different generation. It's a whole new world for them.
It's like you got hope rising there in Russia, don't you? I mean, because you can't have dreams without hope. Right?
Yeah.
I say.
Yeah.
Well, just my humble opinion. Well, Lisa Dickey, thank you again so much. Congratulations on the book just released, Bears in the Streets. Excellent, excellent read. You will definitely enjoy it.
These were prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 67cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history. Visit 67cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income and you can get the loan you need now. Regardless of your credit, go to 67cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 67cash.com. Type www.67cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 67cash.com. 67cash.com.